I am Cristiano. This is my wife, Amy, and my son, Giovanni. I want to start by saying thank you, Crossroads, for being there for me and my family during the past 3 years. So we went through hard times, and you were there. So the least I could do today was to be here for you and our Lord. So let me start in prayer, and then we'll go into Psalm 117. Lord God, we ask you for your grace. We ask you for your mercy. Lord, we ask you that through Jesus Christ, our praise would be pleasing to you. Lord, we ask you that our praise would result in real, true, and love community among us. Lord, we also ask you that your praise would also result in us going out and proclaiming your gospel. Lord, we pray and we ask you this in Jesus' name. Amen. The psalm for today is 117. Praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol him, all you peoples. For great is his love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. The Psalms were given to us to guide us in our worship of God, to mold our attitudes, to mold our emotions, to show us how to experience all the range of emotions that are in there in a way that is pleasing to God. So among the Psalms, you will find a great block of them, which are called the praise Psalms. So when we go to the Psalms, Psalms 113 to 118 is called what we commentators know as the Egyptian Hallel, right? Built around the emphasis of Psalm 114, which is a celebration of the Exodus, these six songs, 113 to 118, were sung as the Hebrews gathered to celebrate the Passover, God's great act of salvation on their behalf. Psalm 113 and 114 were sung before the memorial meal, and Psalms 115 to 118 were sung afterwards. Right? So the songs were given and were sung before and after the Passover. Today I come and I want to unpack this psalm in three ways. One is I want to talk to you about the call to praise. Then I want to talk to you about the effects of praise. And then I want to talk to you about the power to praise. Right? The call to praise. It is right there in the psalm. Praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol him, all you peoples. So there is a start with verse 1, praise the Lord. Again, it is retold again on the second line, extol him. And then it ends with praise the Lord or hallelujah. Right? It is right there. There is a call that comes from God to us to praise him. Now, as you read your Bible, as I read my Bible, you will notice that that call does not originate in the will of man. Right? It is not that humankind woke up one bright morning and said, something is missing in our lives and, you know, let me make it up an idea to praise someone that lives in heaven. No. No, no, no. That call is coming from God himself. Right? So it is a call that comes to us. Right? It is not something that humankind have made it up. Also, it is not a power play. Right? It is not that God woke up one morning and said, I'm so weak and I gotta exercise some power over something. No. He already has all the power in the world. It is not a power play. Now, if you attend some universities, you will hear that all truth is a power play, including this one. Right? But it does not match with the reality that we see in the Bible. Lastly, this call, it is a spiritual call. Right? Without God working in my heart and in your heart, you're not going to be able to hear it. I can be here for 1,000 years preaching the same message. If God does not act in your heart, if God does not use my tongue, and God, I need him, you're not going to be able to comprehend, let alone to act on it. Right? It is a spiritual call. What does it mean to praise? Right? In its basic meaning, it is to make much of someone. Right? It is to extol the virtues, the character of someone. Now, we see this all the time in sports games, in professions. But here the Bible comes to us and presents us the one who is the most valuable one in the universe. God himself. He is worthy because of who he is and what he has done. Right? We need to worship him. We need to praise him. God does not need our praise. Amen? He does not need it. He already had the love of the Godhead. He already had the Holy Spirit. He already had God the Son, Jesus Christ. Guess who needs it, and guess who were made to praise God? We were. We need it. Without praising God, we are dead in our sins. We are incomplete. We are unfinished. Right? Right? And you and I, to some extent, have experienced that. Right? The more promotions you get, you think you're gonna have it all. Right? I mean, God, I should be happy, but by now. Or, right, I have married the person I wanted. Right? No, you're going to still feel incomplete. Right? It is a call. Right? It is a call that comes from God. Second, the effects of praise. Here you have in this psalm what has been in God's heart from eternity. Right? He calls Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. Right? And he promises Abram, right? I'll give you a great land. I'll make you a great people, and you'll be a blessing to all nations. It is there in Genesis 12. It is there in Genesis 18. It is there again in Genesis 22. Three times God has given to the father of our faith. Amen? What has been in his heart? I am here to reclaim my praise, Abraham. And he repeated three times during Abraham's life. And if we continue to read our Bibles, God, after Abraham, he raises up a nation, right? Out of Abraham, Israel, right? Israel, I want you to be a blessing to all nations. And God does not put Israel, right, in the desert somewhere. He puts it in a place, in a land where Israel is in the middle of the nations, right, to be seen and behold, right? And Israel was given a call, right, to be a light to the Gentiles, to the nations, right? God was addressing, right, the alienation that not only exists between him and the people, but among the peoples, right? To make them one, as Apostle Paul says in his letters, to kill the hostility, right? The effects of praise is to bring all the nations together under the umbrella of the praise of God through Jesus Christ. Now, if you watch the news, if you read your newspaper, right, things don't look like that. Right? And they have not looked like that for a while. But God has called the church to be a beacon of what that can be. Right? I was born in Brazil. I had a goal of going to college and be somebody. Right? So I came to the U.S. with a plan to get a business degree and go back home and work with my dad. I had a plan, but I did not know about the plan. So here am I, in the University of Tennessee, Knoxville, in the beginning of my second year, minding my own business, and then I meet this friend of mine, and he comes to the cafeteria with a Bible every Tuesday night. And I'm like, you bring a Bible to the cafeteria? So, and then he tells me, well, I'm going to hear this preacher afterwards. And I said, okay, all right. He never invited me. So one blue moon, 3 months later, I say, hey, I want to go with you. I mean, that's a good idea. I mean, I want to hang out with you, you know. So I go with him, and what do I see? I see, you know, different people together listening up to this message about Jesus. And it was not the people that got me there. Looking back, I have to say it was God that got me there. Right? I saw the effects there. You know, people that were not supposed to hang out together were hanging out together. Right? It was like, a football player and a piano player. You know, people that got A's in their course and people that got C's hanging out. The effects were there, my dear friends, and that's the future. If you read Revelation, right? Right? If you read Revelation, what we read in Revelation chapter 5, Apostle John says in chapter 5, verse 9, and they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God, for every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000s times 10,000s. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice, they sang, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. You see? This is the destiny. This is our destiny. The nations, those whom God calls from the nations and from Israel, will be before the throne of God and His Lamb, praising Him for all He has done. Right? The call of praise, the effects of praise. Now, where do we find the power to praise? This verse number one does not come to us or does not fall into our ears in a vacuum, right? We have real lives. There are many calls out there that has nothing to do with praising God. There is a call of our cell phones. They don't seem to stop. Right? And we feel obliged to answer it. Right? We have those type of calls. We have the calls of our sinful hearts. Right? They are still there. Right? That sinful nature that speaks into our minds. Right? Can you really trust this God? Is He really worth of your praise? Especially in this circumstance. You have lost your job, or you are about to lose it. Maybe the person that you thought would be there for you have left. Maybe the friendship that you were looking for the most to be there is not there. Maybe you were betrayed. Is it still worthy to praise God in those situations? And what do the sinful hearts tell us? Right? No, it's not. Right? So this call does not fall in a vacuum. There are other calls out there. There are other calls to elevate the praise of something else above the praise of God. The pressures of daily life. I gotta be somewhere. I gotta do this. If I'm not there, things will fall apart. Right? Okay? Not only we have different calls, but we have those calls that they can have a particular hold on each one of us. And we know what those calls are, right? Because we have been struggling with them for a while. And they don't go away. Right? It can be sexuality. Right? The call of a beautiful lad, a beautiful lady, that you just don't seem to, you know, hold your ground. Maybe there is that call of, I gotta marry somebody to be someone. Right? Maybe it is that call that is demanding courage from you. Right? You gotta tell that to that person. And you have not yet found the courage to do it. So all this, this psalm knows about it. The psalmist, right? There is a call, there is effects, but what is the power that God give us to respond to that call and to meet that effect? Verse 2, for great is his love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. The love of God. The greatness of the love of God towards you, knowing all yours and my darkness, knowing that will not answer the call if he does not act, knowing that if he does not intercede and intervene, we will not produce that effect that he wants. Right? It is hesed, that covenantal love that God has for his people. Right? The power is not from us. It is from him. Right? It is his love. Right? It is not just his love, but it is also the faithfulness of the Lord who endures forever. Right? I was in my sinful self, I was wondering, how can God keep on forgiving me for my sins? It is as if how can Jesus keep on up there? You know, is Jesus like, can you just please forgive Christian one more time? He won't do it again. Or, you know, is this what Jesus is doing up in heaven? I hope not, and I don't think so, according to the scriptures. Every prayer and request of Jesus is answered yes. Right? He showed his hands and his life and his work. Right? God is what? Faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God will answer, I will not only just forgive him, but I will cleanse him. And that is his promise to you and to me in our fight against sin, my dear brothers and sisters. His love, you see, his hesed. I have been a parent for what? 2 years? Yeah? 2 years. You know better. Thank you, buddy. 2 years. You know, and I look at myself and I'm like, oh, you did it again? You know how I there is a sense of desperation in the life, in the heart of a father. Again, I forgive you, son. You know, don't do it again. Right. God will be faithful to you in your fight against sin. Look at his love in his faithfulness on the cross. He has put your sin, he has died because of your sin. It is paid. My dear friends, all of your sins, all of your sinfulness is paid with his blood. The most valuable blood in the whole universe, without stain, without sin. Right? His love and his faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. What do you need to persevere in your fight against sin? What do you need so that you keep on praising God in the difficult times? What do we need to hear? Apostle Paul tells us that on Romans chapter 15, verse 5. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth to confirm the promises made to the patriarchs, so that the Gentiles may glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles, I will sing hymns to your name. Again it says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, and here Paul quotes Psalm 17:1-17. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and sing praises to him, all you peoples. And then verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. See? By the power of the Holy Spirit, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. That power, that love, that faithfulness comes from God to you. Do you believe it? Have you taking hold of that today? No matter who you are, no matter how messed up you and I am, no matter which tribe you belong, God is looking for you. Right? Would you come to him today? Would you look to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who before the shame endured the cross? Come to him. Come to him. Confess your sins. Take hold of the promises that God has made to Abraham and his seed. Let us pray. Lord God, we ask you, Lord, through your gospel, Lord, we ask you, Lord, for the person and the work of Jesus on behalf of your people. Lord, we ask you that your word would not come back void, but that, Lord, that your word would accomplish your purposes. That your word, Lord, would create, reignite your praise in the lives of your people. Help us to answer the call, Lord. Help us to have the effect Lord, help us and give us the power for your hope, your joy, and your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.